Hey guys, welcome to Chosen Voices, a podcast created by Chosen Vessels, Inc., seeking to encourage, equip, and empower leaders around the globe. I'm your host, Becca Baxter, and this is Chosen Voices. Today on the podcast, we have Laura Patterson. Laura is married to Greg and has raised two adult children. Her heart is for Christians to know what the Bible says and for people to be able to study it for themselves. Today, she walks us through why it's important to study Scripture, practical how-tos, and breaks down some of the obstacles around studying Scripture. Here's my conversation with Laura Patterson. Hey, Laura, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so happy to have you on the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So to get started, let's start off with just sharing a little bit about you, what your current context is, so people can get an idea of who you are and what you're doing.
Okay. Well, I'm Laura Patterson, and I grew up in a Christian home. I went to a Christian high school. I went to a Christian college. And after I got married and had a baby, I was at church one day, and I saw a brochure for a Bible study. And it was on the book of Revelation, and I instantly was drawn to that brochure. And I picked it up and instantly signed up. And that's very out of the ordinary for me because I don't do things on a whim. I mull things over. But I really feel like the Lord was leading me to join this Bible study. And it was on Revelation. And ever since I was a teenager, I had been afraid of Revelation and the things that were to come that had never been explained to me well. And it made me fearful. So when I started taking this Bible study and learned how to study the Word for myself, I was no longer fearful of what was going to happen in the end times, but I also learned along the way how to study the Word. I was learning some strategies for digging things out for myself, learning how to slow down and read the Scriptures and hone in on key words and certain things and really see who God is and what He's doing and His relationship to me. And so over time, Bible study has been an important part of my life. I have spent 25 years doing Bible study, and I've spent about the last 6 or 7 actually leading Bible study. And so that is the main ministry that I perform at my church, and that's where my heart is, for people to know what the Bible says and to dig those truths out for themselves.
Yeah, that's awesome. So would you say that's where your personal journey really started, with taking time to learn the Scriptures on your own, with starting that Revelation study?
Yes, but I grew up knowing what the Bible said. I was a believer. I learned all kinds of Bible verses growing up. I knew the Bible stories. I knew biblical concepts. But I didn't really know how to dig things out for myself.
Yeah.
And this Bible study really helped me to do that. So it was a pivotal point in my spiritual journey. Yes.
So why is it important for us to study the Word for ourselves?
Well, first of all, we need to know what God's Word says. And He even says that we need to know what it says. So I'm going to read a verse in Romans 15:4. And here is Paul writing his book to the church at Rome, and he says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction." And he's talking about those earlier times. He's talking about the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament yet. And so he's telling this church at Rome what's been written in the past in the Old Testament was written for our instruction. And he tells us why it was written. He says that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And so that tells us we need to persevere through the Scriptures, and that knowing them, because we persevere, we'll have encouragement and we'll have hope. And so Paul tells us right there why it's good for us to study the Word. And then in the Psalms, we see Psalm 119, which is just an awesome, awesome chapter. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. And that whole chapter talks about God's Word. And so Psalm 119, verse 11 says, Thy word I have treasured in my heart. I think some versions say hid in my heart. Mm. Thy word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Mm. So to have God's word in our heart will help us to keep from sinning. Now, that's not just some magic trick that we do, that if we memorize Bible verses, we won't sin. It's a lot deeper than that. But here's what is helpful to us, to have his words treasured in our heart. And then another verse from that same chapter, Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And so when we have his word in our heart, it gives us direction and it gives us light and a lamp. We're in a time now that's been very dark. We need light. We need a lamp. And so we need to have God's words hidden and written on our hearts. So it will give us instruction and encouragement. So God tells us why we need to study. It's a guidebook for our lives. We need to study them on our own. And we need to know how to dig that out on our own. Mm. And we need some strategies to do that.
So what are some strategies for studying scripture?
Well, first of all, I would suggest that you have a good version of the Bible. Mm. Have a version that you're comfortable with, a good translation. There are multiple types of translations. Some are word-for-word translations. Some are thought-for-thought translations. Mm. I personally use the New American Standard, but there's other good translation, the English Standard Version, which is the ESV, mm-hmm. or the New International Version, the NIV. Those are good translations as well, and good study Bibles. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of others out there. The Message is a good thing to use just to read, to help you to read through. That's not a great study Bible, but it's good for getting the gist and the thought of what's happening there. So find a Bible that works for you, mm-hmm. that is comfortable for you to read, where you feel that you can understand what's happening.
Yeah.
So then take, I would start, if you're new to doing that, I would start with the book of John, mm-hmm. because it gives you the life of Jesus. It tells you who Jesus is, that he's fully God and fully man. And so you see really who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. And then go chapter by chapter and just see what you learn about God. Don't let yourself get bogged down in some details, mm-hmm. but find out what you learn about God. Then after you've done John, I would go to the Old Testament and look at the life of Abraham, starting in Genesis 12, mm. because here you're going to see who God really is. So in John, you see a lot about Jesus and that he is fully God and fully man. But with Abraham and Genesis 12 and moving through that story, you see who God is, and you see his names. You see him as a covenant-keeping God. You see him as a provider. You see him as the God who sees, and so much more. So as you move through the life of Abraham, you see who God is. And that's the main point of Bible study, is to really see who God is, mm. and that he has reached out to us and that we can have relationship with him.
Yeah, that's awesome. And those are great places to start. You get a foundation of who our King and our Savior is.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Absolutely.
That's a great place to point people. So when thinking about studying scripture, a lot of times Bible studies are done corporately, but also it's important to do it individually. How do you balance between when do I need to study in a group and when do I study by myself?
Well, I think it's good to do both. And it's kind of depends on your season of life and how much time you have and what's available to you. Mm-hmm. Right now, it is very difficult to do a group Bible study unless you're doing it online or something. Mm-hmm. I have led a Bible study through Zoom and it worked well, but it still is not the same as just being together. Mm-hmm. But for personal Bible study, you need to just set aside some time and decide, all right, am I going to do this in the morning or at night? Is it better at my lunch hour? You need to have some time, even if it's just 10 to 15 minutes, do something.
Yeah.
Do something. But then with corporate Bible study, being in a small group is really wonderful, whether it is a Sunday school class or a home group. You need to be involved in something like that, because iron sharpens iron as we come together and study together. I've done formal Bible studies where there's homework. Not everybody has the time to do that. But those are great as well. There's a lot of stuff available online. There's Bible studies all over the place. There's lots and lots of great resources to help with that. I also want to encourage people to make sure that you're getting the word being taught at your church, mm-hmm. in your pulpit, because that doesn't always happen. Mm-hmm. But you want to be in a church where the pastor is actually preaching God's word and teaching it to you, and not some fluff of some sort. You want to have someone who can really dig into the word from the pulpit as well.
Yeah. Do you have certain pastors that you would point people to, maybe that have online resources where they could, if, you know, someone's in a remote place, they might not have a pastor that's teaching them. Do you have people that you would want to point them to?
I have someone that my pastor told me about several years ago, and I have done a lot of Bible study with this gentleman. I have never met him, but I have spent hours online with him, and his name is Ray Mayhew. And so I can give you his website, and you can put that in the show notes, I suppose. But
yeah.
Ray Mayhew is British, and so he's great to listen to, has a wonderful accent. His website has all kinds of Bible teaching on every book of the Bible. He actually for a while was at a church in Omaha, Nebraska. And honestly, I'm not quite sure where he is now. He's an older gentleman, but his teaching is really, really good. And it is in depth and thorough, and he's great to listen to. And he's able to incorporate things that I would never know about. Maybe things from art or architecture or literature that all kind of mesh together that give a layer of depth to his Bible study. Mm-hmm. So he's a really good one that I would recommend.
Yeah, we'll definitely link to that in the show notes,
yes.
so people can go find
yes.
that.
And there's lots of good commentaries available online. Blue Letter Bible is a good resource where you can find different versions of the Bible, even in foreign languages. You can find, I know they have it in Spanish with their Bible translations, but there's lots of commentators available there and some teaching. So you could explore that website as well. So there's lots of things available for free, mm-hmm. that would be great, especially if you can't get out or don't have access to something right now.
Yeah. I love Blue Letter Bible. It's one of the things I use every single day.
I have used it many, many times. It's great for a lot of different research, mm-hmm. Commentaries, as well as finding the Hebrew and Greek words for something and giving the definitions for things and so forth. So it's a really, really great resource.
Yeah. And easy to use, because you can access it from any type of device and
yes,
online.
Yes, they have an app. You can use their app. They've got a great website. So yes, and it is easy to use. If I'm able to navigate it, it's easy to use. Yes.
That's awesome. So I would think that they're in different seasons of life. We have different time capacities. Thinking about, you know, new moms or those that maybe have more time and want to study in depth. How do we navigate our time constraints and also set aside time for the discipline of studying scripture?
Well, I think you need to just resolve to set apart some time. But depending on your season of life, don't beat yourself up about maybe what you would hope you could do when maybe that's just not practical in your life right now. If you're a mom with several children, then you're limited as to the amount of time you've got all at one time, mm-hmm. because your day is broken up. You've got different schedules for your children and so forth. So you just need to resolve to cut out some time. Mm-hmm. And it would be good too, if you are a mom, then you might need to explain to your children, this is some time that mom is going to have to herself. Mm-hmm. And it may be before the kids get up, but if your children are early risers, you might have to have it a different time of the day. I first started with this in-depth Bible study on Revelation that I took when my son was a year old and I would put him down for a nap and I would sit at the kitchen table and do my homework. And that was my time. Mm-hmm. And that worked for me. Other people, when they put their kid down for a nap, they need a nap as well. So it depends on who you are and what's going on. And I only had one child at the time. And so that's a little different. Mm-hmm. But do whatever you can, because a little is better than nothing. Mm-hmm. Don't ever say, I don't have time to do anything, because I don't think that honors the Lord. And I don't think that that is good for you. Mm-hmm. So there is something that everybody can do, even if it's just a little bit. And we move through different seasons of life. You just have to do the best you can. And the Lord understands that. We're bad about putting constraints on ourselves and beating ourselves up, particularly depending on your personality. I'm a perfectionist, so I have to deal with some of that myself, where I think I need to follow a certain rule.
Yeah.
And we need to not let that overpower us.
Yeah. What are some other obstacles people might come in contact with or come up or experience when starting to study scripture?
Yes, because the biggest obstacle, I think, is just carving out some time there. So you need to be intentional about that. Another obstacle is getting bogged down in a certain scripture. So if you're, which is why I suggest starting off with John and then moving to Abraham, those are not hard necessarily scriptures. Those are not filled with weird stuff necessarily, because there are some weird things in the Bible, and there's things that I don't understand. There's things that great scholars don't understand. So don't get bogged down in some things. If there's things you don't understand, then read through that, do the best you can, read some commentary on it, find out what somebody else is saying, but then don't let that consume you. Move along. I have found that over time I've had better understanding. What might have confused me here, a few years later, I might not be quite as confused, because I've been studying along and the Lord's helped me. And maybe I've heard a teaching from somebody else along the way that has given some insight. And the Holy Spirit is the best teacher. And as believers, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And so we don't need to worry so much about the things we don't understand. We need to be concerned about the things we do understand, because be kind. Well, I understand that, but I don't always do it. So I need to focus on what I do understand. So don't get bogged down in difficult scriptures, which is why you would want to be careful about doing some hard passages too early on. I did a Bible study a few years ago on Isaiah, and that was probably the hardest Bible study that I had ever done. It's a great study, but it's long and it can be confusing. And so that's not one you'd want to start off with. So, but you don't want to ignore it either.
Yeah.
So we don't want to get bogged down, read through something and move on. It's okay to say, I don't get this. Or this is weird. Or God, I don't understand what you did here. This is violent. You know, it's okay. We need to understand the whole scripture. We need to let the Lord show us more about himself. And then we need to rest in his sovereignty. And again, focus on what we do understand, that I need to be loving. I need to be kind. I need to reverence God as holy. And so forth. Those are things I do understand. And I'm still working on those. So another obstacle is we can easily beat ourselves up if we get off track or if we miss a day or two or 10. Don't beat yourself up. Do the best you can and move along. And then I would also guard us against listening to too many other voices about scriptures, because you can get different ideologies and different slants on things from too many different people. Let the Lord show you what he's teaching you. Mm-hmm. And then listen to some good commentary and some good Bible teaching of people that you trust. But listen to several ones. Don't just hone in on one, mm-hmm. because they can get something wrong sometimes. I've known of Bible teachers who taught something one way and then over time realized, oh, well, I'm not so sure that that is right, and made some corrections. Mm-hmm. And there's times when I've had to correct my beliefs. Maybe I was taught one thing, and maybe later I realize, you know, I'm not quite sure if that's right, you know. And so that's okay. But we don't want to let those obstacles overpower us. Keep moving. Yeah. Keep moving.
That's awesome. How have you seen your personal relationship with the Lord shift the more time you spend in Scripture studying with Him?
As I've learned more of who He is, and I mark my Bible, and so I'll mark very often, not all the time, but because you can, it can end up being a mess if I'm marking too much stuff. But there are times when I've marked my Bible with a little triangle for the Trinity over God's name or one of His names, whether it be Lord or Jehovah or something like that. And I can write out to the side, you know, what I've learned about Him in the margin of my Bible. And one time I was writing some lessons on Genesis for my church, writing some lessons that were going to be used for our small groups. And as I moved through Genesis, I remember sitting at my dining room table and I began to cry. It was late at night. Nobody else was up. I'm down there working by myself. And I began to cry because I just saw the goodness and the mercy of God. And very often it's easy to see the harshness of God in the Old Testament. And there are harsh things. There's violence. There's things we don't always understand. But if you move through that and really give it some time and see who God is, you see His mercy over and over again, His willingness to forgive, His willingness to take His people back when they have been disobedient, His compassion. I was just recently reading about Jonah, and Jonah wasn't compassionate for the Ninevites at all. He did not like them, but God wanted them to repent and to come to Him. And God had way more compassion than than Jonah did for Nineveh. Mm-hmm. And so you move through the Scriptures, and if you really slow down and see, all right, God, what are you doing here? What does it say about you? Mm-hmm. And you'll see His mercy and His compassion and His forgiveness and His longing for us to run to Him and His longing for the nations mm-hmm. as well. And you know that, because your desire is for the nations. Mm-hmm. In any missions organization, we see that. So He wants us to know Him. And so as I've just studied for years and years now, that has become more and more evident of who He is and how much more I have to learn. The more I learn, the more I realize what I don't know, mm-hmm. and that it becomes more humbling. Early on as a younger person, it was very easy for me to think I've got it all together. Mm-hmm. And the more I know, the more humbled I can become. Mm-hmm. And that's the posture that God wants us to have before Him, is an attitude of humility, and to realize that He's God, He's sovereign, He's in charge. I need to let go of some things and surrender to Him. So learning what the Bible says has helped me to understand those things much more deeply and to trust Him more intimately.
Mm, that's awesome. In your personal time with the Lord, how do you balance when you're studying Scripture, when you're spending time in prayer, or how do you set up your time with the Lord in the day?
Well, I'm actually using a Bible app right now just to read through the Bible, just for my quiet time. Mm-hmm. And those are not times when I'm doing in-depth study, mm-hmm. because if I get into that, then it can take way longer than what I'm wanting to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm reading through the Bible in a year, which is something, ironically, I've never done. So I am working through that. I'm in Kings and Chronicles. And so there again, I have to not get bogged down because there's a lot of weird names in there and it gets confusing about who's in Israel and who's in Judah and which king is what. And they have sometimes two different names, you know, so that gets confusing, and that's okay. So as I'm reading through just in my regular quiet time, I'm not getting bogged down in real deep Bible study. Because that's not what my time is cut out for that. If I'm doing a more in-depth Bible study, then I'm taking one book of the Bible at a time, and I'm going through that, and I'm finding the theme of the Bible, of that book, and finding the theme of each chapter even, and finding key words, and finding out what is the author's purpose, what is he doing here, what do we learn about God here, what are the key words and things that the Lord repeats? Because if he repeats things, then he wants us to know them. And a key word, a key unlocks things. And so we want to know those key words. So if you're looking at Philippians, a key word is joy or rejoicing and so forth. So if I'm doing an in-depth study, then I'm spending a lot of time just in that one book. And then I use outside sources, commentaries, resources, books. I want to find out the context. I want to find out the history. If I was doing a study of Ephesians, then I need to find out, okay, what was Ephesus like? Where is Ephesus? Does that city exist today? What was going on culturally? And I have a book that's called The Manners and Customs of the Bible. And so that's real helpful to know what some custom that's really weird to us, but was common at the day. I can look up Greek words or Hebrew words if I'm in the Old Testament and find out what does this mean? What did this word really mean? So that gets much more in depth. And if I'm leading a Bible study, we're following through that type of thing in our homework. But sometimes I'm doing things just on my own at home, going through something, and I'll get more in depth. And then in my prayer time, sometimes the Lord uses what I've been studying to help me to learn to pray more effectively. So as I learn more about who God is, then that does affect my prayer life, because there are times when I don't know how to pray very well. And so I will just use God's names, and I will say, God, you're the creator. That's where we see you first in Genesis 1. You're the provider. We see that later on in Genesis 12, 13, 14, 15, in that time frame with Abraham. You're the God who sees. We see that with Hagar in Genesis. You are Jehovah Rapha. You're Jehovah Shalom. So as we move through the Bible, we see his names, and I can just repeat those things back to him in my prayer time to acknowledge who he is. And if I didn't study the Bible and know what those things are, then I'm not going to be able to use that in my prayer time. He brings things to my remembrance that I've studied. And that's not going to happen if I didn't plant them in my brain to begin with, even though sometimes they're buried very deep in my brain because I can't possibly remember everything. But God brings things to my remembrance and helps me to pray more effectively because of what I've studied. So pray God's word back to him. Use the Psalms especially to pray that back to him. If you're feeling desperate, Psalm 23, if you feel like you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, pray through that, you know, as he's your shepherd. So the Bible is a great resource for prayer. And we've got models for prayer, the Lord's Prayer and other prayers. Nehemiah prayed little quick prayers. He didn't, he wasn't very eloquent. He would just, you know, just quickly pray something out. And so we can use these examples of prayer. And so I do that sometimes. Sometimes I don't know exactly how to pray. So I think, okay, I'll go back to what I know here. I'll start with the Bible and go from there.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. This has really given people, I think, a place to start and also room for grace for each other and for themselves. Absolutely. As they're studying We've covered a lot in 30 minutes. So is there anything else that you wanted to add to anything, anything at all about studying scripture?
I want to encourage listeners to start where you are. Don't put things off and think, I don't know where to begin. And ironically, don't begin with Genesis 1, even though that is important verses. But like I mentioned, start with John, start with Abraham, and then maybe move through some of the other Gospels. The book of Mark is a great one for just seeing the miracles of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then just go. Mm-hmm. Start with something and go with it. And don't ever think that you're not smart enough. Some people think, I'm not smart enough to do this on my own. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm just a homemaker. I can do this. Mm-hmm. I don't have a degree in Bible or theology. I was in the business world before I had a baby and stayed home. And so the Lord just worked through me, through His Holy Spirit, to show me what He wanted me to know, mm-hmm. and how I could just have my life enriched by knowing what His Word says. And we live in very difficult days. And we need to know truth.
Yeah.
And truth is in the Word of God and what we should believe and having a biblical foundation and a biblical worldview. And we know that by going to the Bible. So I've also learned that the more I learn, the more I learn that I need to learn some more. And so we don't ever, you know, arrive and have everything in our head. But the Lord is gracious with us. And so He is so good and He is so compassionate. And we want to be in communion with that kind of God. And so His Word is a treasure and it is a light. So I encourage your listeners to know that, jump into that treasure. It will enrich your life and it will be a guidelight to you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Laura. I really appreciate you coming and sharing your wisdom and just your journey of studying scripture.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I love to do it, and I'm just glad to share it with others.